And the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 402. My soul lies cleaving to the dust. Lord, give me life divine. From vain desires and every lust, turn off these eyes of mine. Hymn 402.
Thank you. holy word of God. Let us turn this evening to read in the Gospel of John, reading part of chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And we'll read the first 32 verses. John's Gospel, chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. May the Lord grant his blessing upon that portion of his holy and sacred word. May he help us now to pray. O thou most holy, almighty and gracious God, we are gathered together here, Lord, this night, seeking, Lord, to know thy presence amongst us and thy blessing upon thy word. Lord, we commend to thee the one who should have been here this night, preaching the gospel. Lord, remember him in his felt weakness, unable to make the journey. But Lord, we pray thou wilt visit him with mercy upon his soul. Lord, that thou wilt feed him with thy word which he proclaims to others, and make it a blessing unto him. Lord, do restore him to full health and strength, and use him to the honour and glory of thy name. Lord, may thy word, which he proclaims, be confirmed with signs following. Be with his own church and people. And Lord, we pray that as he also preaches elsewhere, watch over him upon his journeys. Lord, give him safety, give him peace. And may he ever know thy good hand of love and mercy upon him. Lord, as we are now gathered here this night, oh, do separate us from all the busy scenes of life and all the activities that crowd in our daily lives, day by day and hour by hour. And Lord, through the help of thy Spirit, help us to fix our eyes, our thoughts, our hearts upon Jesus, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sin, who taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, such sin is in our own hearts. Oh, we are guilty day by day. In a moment, Lord, we sin and our own earthly spirit prevails, and we act and we speak and we think in ways that grieve thy Spirit. O Lord, we are only worthy to be separated from thy love. But thy word speaks of an everlasting love. Lord, it speaks that nothing can separate thy people from thy love. Oh, may that love be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us, that we ever may be found cleansed from all sin in thy most holy sight through the shed blood and the travail of the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us, Lord, this night to worship. Lord, to give thee all the praise, all the honour, all that thou hast brought us from the day we were born unto this day, having not dealt with us after our sins, having not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Lord, thou art a gracious God, and we humbly fall before thee. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt confirm us as thy children. Lord, ever give us an interest in the shed blood of Christ the Redeemer. Lord, who has paid the price for our sin, that we may be set at liberty, free from condemnation, from death, destruction, and despair. Lord, do bless the singing of the hymns here tonight, those which have been chosen. Oh, Lord, do use them, those which were written, Lord, by those of old who, Lord, knew the influence of thy Spirit in their daily lives and upon their soul. Oh, may there be application, prayers from our hearts indicted by them. And Lord, thy holy word which we have just read, Lord, they contain much of the words of Jesus and his mighty deeds. Oh Lord, may we meditate in the sacred truth of Jesus, and may our meditation be made sweet to the blessing of our soul. Lord, to impart life, light, liberty, the hope of eternal life. Lord, thou knowest each one that is gathered here this night. Thou knowest all the burdens of daily life. And thou knowest all the joys and the thanksgivings. For Lord, there is many thanksgivings which we bring before thee for the supply of our daily needs. Oh Lord, compared to others in other parts of the world, we have an abundance. And Lord, we so often do not think upon these things. We take so much for granted. Oh Lord, do not let us lie in unthankfulness, for all the providential mercies thou doth grant and have granted to us. And another harvest, which is now being gathered in of the cereal crops. Lord, such suitable weather for it. But Lord, there are still the vegetable crops, the fruit. Lord, we need the rain. Oh Lord, do not pour out thy wrath. Lord, and prevent that which is needful for the supply of our food for another year. Oh Lord, thou hast blessed this nation for centuries, whereby seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat have never failed to bring forth that which we have need of for our earthly good. But Lord, if there is to be another seed time and harvest, Lord, the ground needs to be made soft for the sowing of the seed. Oh Lord, we pray for thy faithfulness in spite of our sins, personally, collectively, of our nation. Lord, we are not worthy of the least of thy mercies, but we need them. Oh, do forgive us our many, many sins. Blot out our transgressions. Lord, still be mindful of us. And overturn, Lord, the abominations that are done in the land. And give us, Lord, a prime minister that shall know a dependence upon thee. Lord, a dependence for wisdom and for strength to handle all the difficult matters that lie upon them and before them. Oh Lord, we are in confusion. Surely that's on account of our sin. And thy hand is lifted against us. But Lord, we do pray for our government, that thou will bring them to know where their wisdom lies. Lord, it's in obedience to thy word. Oh, do bring them prayerfully to a throne of grace, Lord. Nothing is too hard for thee. And the Prime Minister and the Cabinet, Lord, oh, in the Cabinet appoint those who fear thy name. And thou shalt use them in the voting, in the debating, in all the motions that are put forth. Lord, that there's an overturning of all the evil. And there's a maintaining and a promoting of the worship of thy name. Oh, do maintain our liberties of worship. Maintain our Protestant liberties. Lord, maintain us with a monarchy who are defenders of the faith. Lord, we lay these things before thee, that the growing generations may enjoy the privileges and freedoms of worship that we that are older have enjoyed all of our days. And so, Lord, we pray for the children and the young people. We thank thee, Lord, where thou found at the time of worship in thine earthly courts, even here tonight. O Lord, bestow thy blessing upon them. Shield them from Satan's evil powers and influence. Lord, there's many enticements, many temptations, many things to draw them away from believing views of Jesus. But, O Lord, we commend them to thee. And we pray thou wilt bless all the dear children in thy tender care and fit them for heaven to live with thee there. Lord, watch over them day by day, in their education, the development of their faculties. Lord, as they grow into teenage years, oh Lord, those who have to make many decisions at this time through examination results which have come and some to come later this week. Oh Lord, do be their guide, provide for them, and help them to be much in prayer. Lord, may thy good hand rest upon them. Help parents in all their responsibilities. Lord, in leading and guiding, providing for them. Lord, may thy spirit, prevail in each of the families. And Lord, shield them from the evils of so much that is inflicted upon them in rules and regulations in these days. Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. And thy promises, they are precious and gracious to those that fear thee. And thy mercy endureth forever. Lord, remember each one of us in whatever our pathway. Remember those in business. Lord, those who daily have to manage various things, Lord, for the provision of their daily needs and for those of their loved ones. Lord, there's much company has to be kept and dealt with those who do not fear thy name. Lord, those who are not believers may even be blasphemers. Oh, Lord, give them the strength by thy Spirit to stand fast in that which is right, and not to be enticed and tempted to do that which is wrong in thy sight. Oh Lord, do bless abundantly. Lord, we thank thee where thou doth help. Remember all those with whatever their duties and responsibilities. Lord, those in the profession of the medical field, what difficulties arise. Those in the teaching profession. Lord, the sinful curriculum that gets promoted. Lord, do help those that are involved in these pathways to honour thee and to remain steadfast in the faith. Lord, remember thy people here. Remember those unable to be here tonight. Perhaps, Lord, away on holiday at this time. Do watch over them where they are. Give them safety on their journeys. Lord, return them safely at the appointed time. Lord, bless them and benefits for body, mind, and also in spirit. If any, Lord, are unwell and cannot come this evening, Lord, we commend them to thee also. Lord, hear their prayers and the prayers of loved ones for them. Lord, that thou wilt strengthen, support, and heal. The prayer of the leper. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, thou canst heal, and not only in body, but also in soul. Lord, bless the ministry of the gospel here. Lord, those that are engaged to preach, make them the messengers in thy message, that it is thy word that is proclaimed, which shall not return to thee void, but it shall accomplish that which thou doth please, and it shall prosper in the thing to which thou doth send it. May there be a word, Lord, for each soul, a word for each pathway. Lord, remember the widows and the widowers and the fatherless and the motherless. Lord, in times of bereavement, draw near. Lord, be the God of all comfort. Warm and strengthen those aching hearts. And may they know, Lord, that provision of thine in spirit. Lord, that helps and supports in the time of sadness. Lord, so we lay all these things before thee. Remember the church in all its matters, the deacons. Lord, hear the prayers they unitedly put up to thee. And Lord, give those answers that are to the honour and glory of thy name. Then hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest us, do forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
was now singing hymn 585, 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace about? Hymn 585.
Thank you. in complete dependence upon our Lord to help us, to draw us into his holy word of truth, and his holy word of truth to enter into us. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the chapter we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, the last clause of verse 24. John's Gospel, chapter 8, the last clause of verse 24. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. When the Lord Jesus was here upon this earth, there was many a gracious word that fell from those lips. We read of Mary of Bethany sitting at his feet, hearkening to the sacred truths which he taught concerning the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord Jesus also spoke some very solemn words. Words which we need to take heed to. And our text is one of them. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. The Lord Jesus was speaking to the Jews that had surrounded him and were questioning him in Jerusalem. Now, dear friends, those Jews, they were very favoured people. They were the sons of Jacob, whom God loved. They were, through Jacob, of the chosen race upon this earth, through whom God would make himself known. The law of God was given to them. The oracles of God were made known unto them. From them would come the promised one who would destroy the power of Satan. These Jews were here upon this earth when that promise was fulfilled. But they did not know him. They did not recognize him. They did not believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Son of God. And he spoke to them this solemn word. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. Dear friends, they heard the speaking, the teaching, the preaching of the Lord Jesus. They heard the parables he spoke to all people. And above all, they saw the miracles that he did. Or when Jesus healed that man sick of the palsy, who was carried by those four friends to the feet of Jesus. There were many of those Jews, the Pharisees, there. When Jesus said to that man, "Oh, thy sins be forgiven thee." And they said in their heart, who can forgive sins but God only? And Jesus showed to them that he had power. For he had power to cause that palsied man to arise and go forth walking, which he had not been able to do since he was sick, which was beyond the capability of any physician. Whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, arise and walk. And he did. And yet they did not believe. Oh, dear friends, how hard is the heart of mankind by nature. If we turn over to the next chapter, oh, we read of the man who was born blind. And there was no doubt that a great miracle had taken place. And yet the Jews who questioned the one who had been made to see, they refused to believe and accept that it was the power of God in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Dear friends, why could they and why did they not believe? Jesus spoke a very, very solemn word. He says, ye believe not in me, because ye are not my sheep. Ye believe not in me, because ye are not my sheep. No matter what they were, no matter what their ancestry, no matter what earthly religious aspect they were, they weren't those who were fools, who said in their heart, there is no God. They weren't amongst those. They weren't amongst the wicked, in whom God is not in all their thoughts. Oh, they were outwardly very upright, seeking to obey the law of God. But inwardly, there was no grace. Inwardly, there was no knowledge of the truth. Inwardly, they were not true sinners. Ye are not of my sheep. Oh, dear friends, what a solemn statement that is, isn't it? Which Jesus spoke. But the Lord Jesus spoke of his sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Dear friends, it's a solemn truth that all that the Father gave unto his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they were known in eternity past, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And that hearing of the voice of God in Christ, dear friends, it doesn't happen by chance. Because being chosen in Christ, dear friends, it would come to pass whilst they were born here upon this earth, under the influence of the Spirit which God would give them, they would hear the voice of love and of mercy that would cause them to believe. Dear friends, the sovereign electing love of God is not a doctrine which is entertained universally, even in the professing Church of Christ. I wasn't brought up under it. I was often called upon to give my heart to the Lord. It's your choice.
It's up to you whether you believe or not. And you know, dear friends, you young people, when I was young like you, I tried. I loved the Word of God. I was brought up in the Sunday school, attending the church. Yes, it was the Methodist church. But they were very godly people in the Methodist church I attended. But the ministry was more Arminian. It was the Lord who had to begin a good work in me. It wasn't until I heard his voice, and that voice came when I was convicted of my sin. It was his work. Well, we read, don't we, in Paul's epistle to the Romans. And don't forget that the Apostle Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, was such a Jew as these to whom Jesus spake. Why, it was even seemingly so that Saul was in Jerusalem, under the bringing brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, when Jesus went about the ministry. But the Apostle Paul, oh, he came to say, didn't he, but God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our heart to reveal the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, it wasn't Paul's own work, was it? All his own work, all his own righteousness, he now counted it but dung in comparison that oh, the knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus. You know, dear friends, our text is part of the truth as it is in Jesus. The truth as in Jesus is here in it. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. But, dear friends, the truth is that no one can be delivered from their sins except they do believe in Jesus, in that glorious work of salvation which he wrought on Calvary's cross. These are the ones of whom Paul wrote of, where he spoke of those who were foreknown, for whom God did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be conformed to the image of his Son. Dear friends, his Son, Jesus Christ, was holy, pure, without sin. Oh, this predestination, this determined will of God that those who were born of Adam's race, the sinful race, we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. There are those that are chosen in Christ, who would come forth to be made like unto him. Oh, that manner of love the Father bestows upon such, that they should be called the sons of God. Dear friends, this is the great work of salvation through Jesus Christ, isn't it? That cleanseth from sin. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to become formed to the image of his Son, that he, that's Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. My sheep hear my voice. Oh, what a voice to call out of nature's darkness. And dear friends, if we're to be called out of nature's darkness, we're to know what it is to be in nature's darkness. Do you know anything of it? Oh, we live in days, don't we, of ease and plenty, much materialism. Oh, the benefit of technology Oh, how simple are many of the daily common tasks now are performed compared to what they were, say, 50, 60, 100 years ago. And we attend the house of God. Oh, we've been brought up to do so, and it's right that we should, even from a child. And oh, we know the scriptures. We can repeat much of it. We learn to say the various portions of it from heart, from mind. Do we know the burden and the conviction of what sinners we are before a holy God? Oh, that's part of his call. It's the beginning of his call. It is his call. It's the work of the Holy Spirit who will convince us of sin. And he will convince us of righteousness, nothing of ourselves. We've got to be delivered from that. Or perhaps tonight we might look at others and we say, oh, they're greater sinners than I am. Oh, they do this, they do that, they don't do this and they don't do that. I am better than they are. Friends, we are sinners as great as anyone else. Oh, Jesus solemnly spoke, didn't he, of those who were told him who Pilate had slain, mixing their blood with their sacrifices. He says, think they were greater sinners than you are, I tell you nay. Except ye repent, whoever we are, born in sin, except ye repent, turn about from all that we trust in and hope in, of our goodness and of our hope of eternal life, unless we repent and look unto Jesus, we shall all likewise perish. Well, this believing in Jesus is not a nominal belief. It's a belief which comes together with knowledge and understanding that in Jesus Christ only is the forgiveness of our sins, which we need first and foremost above all other things, above all the silver and gold, above everything which we might value here upon earth. Jesus is the one thing needful. And if we don't believe that, we shall die in our sins. Solemn, isn't that? But oh, the mercy of God, the foundation of God, it stands sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Well, we had at the beginning of this chapter an account where Jesus was in the temple. And the Jews brought unto him this woman. She was a sinner. She wasn't a faithful wife. Oh, she was given over to adultery. And she was caught in the very act. Now these Jews seeking to tempt Jesus as they often did, to try and catch him out. Or did they not say to him, shall we give tribute to Caesar or not? Or if he said no, then all the Roman authorities would be told and he would be dealt with accordingly. If he said yes, then the people would be angry because they had to give their very scant means to pay for the authorities of the Roman Empire. Oh, we've caught him here. But Jesus said, show me a penny. And they brought them a coin and he said, whose head is this? And they said, Caesar's. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God's. Well, dear friends, we have a wonderful example of that in Daniel, don't we? And Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in an evil, heathen land. How they still rendered to God the things that were God's, yes, and they acknowledged where it was acceptable to
A gift to the king Nebuchadnezzar, those which were his. Oh, what wisdom they had, and what wisdom we need as we live here upon this earth to do what is right in the sight of God. But oh, how often we fail. And here we have a woman in the lust of her flesh was taken in adultery, a great sinner, and the Jews sought to tempt Jesus through these means. Moses said she should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Oh, Jesus was one who they saw had mercy. They even accused him of not obeying the law. Oh, had he not permitted his disciples to pick the corns, the ears of corn upon the Sabbath day? Had he not healed many even in the synagogue on the Sabbath day? Oh, how they accused him of breaking the law. And now they wanted to show that he was one who disowned the law of Moses. They thought they got him here, didn't they? But Jesus didn't answer for a time. And as they kept questioning him, he eventually said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. You see, dear friends, these Jews, they were judging this woman under the law. But they were guilty themselves. Not in the same way, no, but guilty under the law. And can a guilty one exercise judgment on another one who is guilty? Judge not that ye be not judged. For what manner of judge ye meet, he shall be judged unto you. Oh, how can you say, cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye when there's a beam in your own eye? Dear friends, how we find these teachings, don't we, as we read the word, and how this word of Jesus affected the hearts, the minds, the conscience of these accusing Jews. Who was without sin amongst them? Dare they say they were sinless? No. They went out one by one. Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Dear friends, Jesus was the only one, wasn't he, who could cast a stone. But he was sinless. Oh, if he was to judge this woman under the law, he would cast the stone. But when he spoke to the woman, "Doth any man condemn thee?" She says, "And no man. Neither do I condemn thee," says Jesus. "Neither do I condemn thee. My sheep hear my voice." Dear friends, her sin was laid upon Jesus. This was no accidental happening. Everything is known to the Lord. Everything. Dear friends, by loving kindness, he drawn her, yes, to know that she was a sinner and worthy of death. And she was on the brink of it. Oh, how she must have feared. Oh, but this voice of love and mercy, which sounds through Calvary, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Dear friends, what effect this must have had upon this woman. You know, it wasn't just have been in her head. This would have been something which would break and affect her heart. She was free from her just desert. How could she now sin no more? How could she sin, sorry, anymore? Oh, she certainly would now not go about the way she was conducting herself in before. Oh, she would never succumb to this lust of the flesh again. It doesn't mean to say she would continue sinless. Oh, sin is mixed, isn't it, with so much, with all we do. But, dear friends, her heart which had been touched through the sound of the Saviour's voice, oh, would ever mourn over her sin. And the only way she could sin no more is that of that sin which she did commit pardoned through the same mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how she would long again and again and again to be at his feet and to hear that voice. Neither do I condemn thee. Oh, the Lord speaks to his people. That's the voice the sheep hear. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Go in peace. Dear friends, this breaks the sinner's heart, doesn't it? Do you know anything of it? You know, dear friends, when I was young, I had a wonderful drawing to the Lord through his drawing near to me. It softened my heart. It drew me in love and affection to him. It was his love to me. And then I sinned. Oh, I probably told you, a terrible, filthy book was pushed under my nose, and I began to read it. And I lost all the sweetness. I lost all the love that I felt within me towards the Lord. I could only then expect his wrath, and I came into a dreadful low state. I thought I would not live the next day. Satan being there, oh, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Dear friends, I don't say everyone comes into such depths, but we have to come into the knowledge of the sin. Oh, that made me cry more and more for his mercy. Would he be favourable to me anymore? It's impossible for those who were once enlightened, if they should fall away, to be renewed again unto repentance. I thought I was lost. Dear friends, it was many years through my education, the rest of the years of my education and into occupation, before the Lord returned to me in his blessing. Oh yes, he was merciful to me in between time, because he did not deal with me after my sin had deserved. He did not reward me according to my iniquity. Oh, he gave me a little light from his word, a little hope, and I sought to honour him. But dear friends, I was still in that lost state, until he spoke again. My sheep hear my voice. It isn't just once, dear friends, it's when we need that voice, isn't it? That confirming word, oh, that we are his and he is ours. Dear friends, it took place when I was in my early 20s at a church down in Sussex. Oh, how the Lord appeared. All this is done for you. A sweet view by faith of the Saviour upon Calvary's cross. At work the next day, a colleague in front of me turned round. A magazine of pornography in his hand. Graham, you look at this. Oh, Satan is a mighty foe. I thank the Lord he helped me to push it away without seeing. Oh, I fell through a filthy book. Go and sin no more. Dear friends, I don't want to be involved with such things ever again. Oh, the Lord's mercy, his goodness, his favours that restores guilty sinners. Dear friends, this is how we come to believe. It isn't just nominal in our heads. It isn't just, oh, like we've read a history book and we know that the kings and the queens of years gone by reigned in our country and this happened and that happened. and the various warfares. Dear friends, we believe it, don't we? Because we read it, we are taught it, and it remains in our heads. It doesn't affect our hearts. It doesn't affect the manner of life upon this earth as we live day by day. But the true belief in Jesus, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin, oh, that's very different. Dear friends, we have the broken heart over our sin. We have the love to the Lord Jesus. We love him who has first loved us. And we can say with the Apostle Paul, who knew it, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, or the day, the judgment day, which is to come. I know whom I've believed. And we can trust in him. We have faith in him. And sin is most grievous and sinful within us. Oh, our desire is to put away the sin that doth so easily beset us and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is believing in Jesus. This is believing that he came and knowing that he came to save a sinner such as we. Dear friends, what evidence have you got that you are a sinner saved by his grace? Oh, it's a solemn word, isn't it? Hear what Jesus speaks. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Do these solemn things which I'm trying to speak of tonight have any influence or effect upon your heart? Does it cause you to fear? Oh, what if my name should be left out when I for them, says God, shall call? When he shall call in that last day, oh, when the books will be opened and all shall be judged, and there will be all our sins, all our guilt, all that is contrary to the righteous law of God, and all shall be cast into that lake of fire, where there's weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, except those whose names were found in that other book, the book of life, those for whom Christ died. And dear friends, we read that Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me, these sheep, they shall come to me. They will hear my voice. I shall not cast them away. And I will raise them up at the last day. Oh, there's the sweetness and the comfort of the knowledge of our sins forgiven. Dear friends, perhaps some of you say, oh, yes, these things have a terrifying effect upon me. I desire to hear his voice. I want to know my sins forgiven. I want the sweet assurance that I'm not amongst these who do not believe in Jesus. I want to know truthfully the things which the gospel declares. I want to be amongst those sheep who hear his voice. Friends, it comes to me concerning that woman who had an issue of blood. Oh, she was getting weaker and weaker. Nothing of the physicians could heal her. She would soon die if that blood was not stanched. You know, dear friends, that's like us, isn't it, in the spirit, in nature, and our sins thus came emanating out from us. That's all we seem to be able to do from our evil hearts, desperately wicked. We just bring forth thoughts, words and deeds, more sin and more sin. This woman heard of Jesus. Now you've heard of Jesus, haven't you? You can't say you haven't. What has that meant to you? Oh, dear friends, this woman, when she heard of Jesus and what he could do, oh, she had that steadfastness of desire, that oneness, singleness of purpose to get to his feet. As she said, to touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. Dear friends, what was that? That was faith. Where did that faith come from? Dear friends, perhaps many were sick at that time and they heard of Jesus. Oh, he can't heal me. It'll be no point in me a seeking, a healing. It's too difficult. I'll carry on the best I can. Dear friends, are you like that in your sinful condition? Carrying on the best you can to do what is right to the best of your ability? Dear friends, you'll die in your sins. This woman became a seeking soul. And what does the scripture say? They that seek me shall find me when they seek for me with all their heart. It's his work. Although you do not perceive it, it's his voice. It's the influence of the Spirit within you. Oh, there's the sound of that voice that draws you. You know, when a child is lost, dear friends, what does that child do? It cries out to be heard, hoping that the one who loves them will find them. It's their singleness of purpose. And dear friends, when one is guilty of sin, they feel lost. Oh, they need to be saved. They need to be found. And they'll do utmost to seek unto the one who can love them and embrace them and give them the peace and the safety. And we have that promise, they that seek me shall find me. To them that knock it shall be opened, to them that ask they shall receive. Oh, that prayerful desire. Well, this woman, in that prayerful desire, dear friends, she pursued to the feet of Jesus. It wasn't easy. There was a crowd around him. Dear friends, but she persevered till she touched and she was made whole. Oh, dear friends, if that desire is in you, as it was in that woman, to press towards the Lord Jesus in those prayerful desires of yours, seeking, oh, to be saved by his grace, then, friends, there's nothing in the scripture which says you shall not be saved. The time of love will come when thou shalt truly see not only that he shed his blood, but you shall say for me. Tarry his leisure then. Oh, dear friends, the Lord will come. He knoweth them that are his. You shall come, and he will bestow that blessing upon you. It may be to very towards the end of your life. But dear friends, if it's the Lord's work, you will not let it go. It'll be the object of your first desire. Jesus, crucified for me. What a mercy. The Lord raises these people who are for his praise. Delivers them from the hardness of their unbelieving hearts by nature. Calls them by his grace that they are not of these. Who shall say, we do not believe in Jesus? Oh, Jesus spoke some very solemn words concerning them, didn't he? He says, ye are from beneath, I am from above. In another place, ye are of your father, the devil. No effect of the truth of Jesus in their hearts. That the parable of the wheat and the tares. Oh, the tares were very much like the wheat as they were growing. But there was no fruit in the ear, was there? Not in the tares. Jesus said that those that were with the wheat were the ones whom the God had sown. The tares, where there was no fruit, to the glory of God, dear friends, was the sowing of Satan. Oh, dear friends, we're either one or the other. We're either the one of the Lord's chosen ones, his sheep, or we're one of those whom Satan hath planted, even though we may be outwardly appearing good. But there's no grace within our heart. Like those 10 virgins, the 5 and the 5. Oh, dear friends, these are most solemn teachings, aren't they? How stands the case, my soul, with thee for heaven? Are thy credentials clear? Oh, do plead. Plead with the Lord earnestly that you're not left in the hardness of your heart, in the unbelief which is in us by nature. But may we know that truth which Jesus said, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For if ye believe not that I am he, says Jesus, ye shall die in your sins. But if we believe, oh, through the working of the Spirit, oh, that prayerful desire within us that teaches us our need, first and foremost, of Christ our Saviour, that Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, we are sinners. The Lord give us believing views in him through the power of his Spirit. The Lord help you to pray and know those answers of everlasting peace. Amen.
I was willing, Mr. Graham, Cottingham expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pocock at our special services on Monday. Let us close with hymn 1105. 1105. Jesus, engrave it on my heart that thou the one thing needful art. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Hymn 1105.
friends, may the prayer of that hymn be engraven on each of our hearts, and to take heed to the word, as Paul wrote to the Hebrews, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us on entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Oh, may he engrave it in our heart, the truth as it is in Jesus. And may that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us, now and forevermore. Amen.